Then last week, we added a second candle. And today, we're going to light a third candle. And let me remind you briefly. Typically, the first candle is this idea of hope and prophecy of expectation sets the whole season up. And the second and fourth, I mentioned to you last week and next week's candle, kind of go back and forth depending on your themes of peace and love and just this idea of what God is doing among us. But today's a unique candle. If you see, it's a different color. It represents joy. And it might be the story where the shepherds, you can imagine being stinky and dirty in the field and the cold and it's dark. And all of a sudden, this angel of light busts out and blinds you and gives you the best news of the history of the world. And you, the lowly shepherd, get that news and get to go right down the street into Bethlehem and see the Christ child who is going to bring tremendous transformation for the entire world. And you know it. It's great tidings. It's good tidings of great joy. That's what this particular candle is all about. And we're going to have a reading and light the third candle, Brother Dale.
The dry desert will rejoice. The desert will be glad and blossom. It will be covered as flowers dance with joy. And it will be covered. It will be as beautiful as the forest of Lebanon and the hill of Carmel and the Sharon Valley. This will happen because all people will see the glory of the Lord. They will see the beauty of our God. Make the weak arm strong again. Strengthen weak knees. People are afraid and confused. Say to them, be strong. Don't be afraid. Look, your God will come and punish your enemies. He will come and give you your reward. He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened so that they can see, and the ears of the deaf will be opened so that they can hear. Crippled people will dance like a deer, and those who cannot speak now will use their voices to sing happy songs. This will happen when springs of water begin to flow in the dry desert. Now people see mirages that look like water, but then there will be real pools of water. There will be wells in the dry land where water flows from the ground. Tall water plants will grow where wild animals once ruled. There will be a road there. The highway will be called the Holy Road. Evil people will not be allowed to walk on that road. No fools will walk on it. Only good people will walk there. There will be no dangers on that road. There will be no lions to hurt people or any dangerous animals on it. That road will be for people God saves. The Lord will make his people free, and they will come back to him. They will come into Zion rejoicing. They will be happy forever. Their happiness will be like a crown on their heads. Gladness and joy will fill them completely. Sorrow and sadness will be far, far away. Meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the Master's arrival. You see farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Stay steady and strong. The Master could arrive at any time. Friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint could be lodged against you, you know. And the judge is standing just around the corner. Take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything, went through everything, and never once quit, all the time honoring God. What a gift it is to those who stay the course. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power. You know how God brought it all together for him at the end. And that's because God cares. He cares right down to the last detail.
Thank you. Thank you, Dale. Well, we started off, the theme of Advent was the idea of surprise. And John started with the first text, which is this apocalyptic text, if God is not afraid to shake up the world and do things that we don't expect. And that's the theme of all of this. A great theme, and it fits the context. Last week, we looked specifically at one of the strange characters, John the Baptist, and how he came eating and doing things that were very strange and yelling at people from the desert, and this unique prophet. Anybody old enough to remember Alf? Alien life form? Well, I kind of took an approach like that last week because John the Baptist is said to have the Elijah life form, which spells elf. And it's kind of interesting that that movie, Alf, I hope you'll take my assignment seriously. Go watch the movie. But there's something about him coming from way far away, being strange, being weird, but bringing exactly what the people needed. In the movie, it's Christmas spirit. In the story of John the Baptist, it is the message of make way. The one we've been waiting on is here. Good news. An exciting step. But it was loud and boisterous and out of the box. John the Baptist yelled at people and said things like, you sit on a throne of lies, right? He called it out and eventually ends up in prison because of what he says to the king. And he's facing death. And then there's another side to the strange man that we're going to look at today. It's a very interesting side. But I want you to think about it because I think if we capture his perplexity, we'll learn a lot about ourselves. I once went to see a movie with my kid. I don't remember which kid or which movie, but I remember the experience. We were sitting in the theater, and all of a sudden, the previews started coming on. And there was language in the previews. And I was like, what is going on here? What are we watching? Now, why did I make that association? The previews typically do what? Like, if you go see a Disney movie, what kind of previews are you going to get? Disney previews. You're going to get fun stuff, family-friendly. Sony might throw in their Baby Jesus movie, right? Because, hey, we want to get on this group of people that are going to like our movie, right? Well, if you're going to see really intense R-rated level material and the language is flying and you're watching this preview, you're going to yourself thinking, what is in this movie we're about to watch, right? And I'm with my kid. I remember feeling uncomfortable. It wasn't at all like that. And so then I began to wonder, why was the preview so different than the movie? Because that's not normally how it happens. And in John the Baptist story, there's something like that. Here comes the preview, and he is out there saying, make way, there's something about to happen, and turn or burn. And he's just yelling at people, and it is raw and weird and out of the box. And people are saying, this is good, this is exciting, a little strange, but this is exciting, and there's something going on there. And then all of a sudden, the movie shows up, the main attraction, the main event. And everybody's scratching their head again. What is going on with this Jesus character? John the Baptist, even, is not quite certain. So let's pick up with Matthew 11. This is what's going on. John the Baptist was in prison because he did his job very well. And when he heard about the actions of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to him. And they asked Jesus, are you the one who's supposed to come? Or should we look for someone else? Now, can you hear between that just a little bit? Is that all you got? Is this it? Okay, maybe I misunderstood. I thought I was bringing... is there someone else coming? Maybe there's just two precursors. I'm setting it up. Jesus is coming and bringing this, and then there's going to be a third guy. What is he waiting on? What do you think John the Baptist is thinking here? Surely this is not all there is, right? Surely there's more to the story. Because John the Baptist is saying, I'm the preview. I know what it's all about. And I'm ta-da! And then I'm escorting you in, and I'm sitting over on the sidelines going, that's a really dumb speech, Jesus. Why are you saying that? Why are you doing that? And I bet there's a little bit of him that wants to go, all right, let me just take back over again. But he knows that's not right. He knows this is the right guy. So he's just sitting over here in prison, facing death. And he does die in prison. He knows this is coming. And he's going, why is it going on like this? It's almost like if you could imagine a wrestler. He's going out into the fight. And he is pinned down. He is being beaten. And he is reaching over to the side to tap out. You know how the dual wrestlers do? And he's tapping out and he taps Jesus. Oh, all right. He gets up. Jesus comes in. And this is what John the Baptist is looking for. Push play. What John the Baptist is looking for, right? He's coming out. He is yelling, turn or burn. The world is coming down. And I am just a precursor. There is one coming who I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. He is going to be a contender that is going to take the world by storm. Watch out. He's pinned down. Go, Jesus. It's your turn. Jesus walks out and he's expecting this Hulk to come out and take charge. And what does the Hulk do? Let the little children come unto me. He's helping people. He expects the Hulk and out walks Mr. Rogers. Do you see the challenge? And he's thinking, and he's in prison. I'm going to die soon, Jesus. Go. It's time. Rescue me. Do something. And yet he knows he's the right one. So he's not sure exactly how to handle it. And so he asks. So, are you the one we're waiting on? Or maybe there's somebody else coming? Right? This is what's going on. Jesus says, no, I'm the right one. You think, well, wait a minute. Does maybe John didn't know what Jesus was doing. Because he answers this. Jesus says, go tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. The blind can see, the crippled can walk. The people have leprosy, are healed. The deaf can hear. The dead are brought back to life. The good news is preached to the poor. Go tell him that. Well, maybe, because when you read this passage, you think, well, maybe John was in prison. He didn't know what was going on. But if you remember the very first passage we read, John the Baptist was in prison when he heard about the actions of the Messiah. Then he asked. So he's in prison and he goes, he's doing what? It's like when I come home and I say, hey, son, what are you doing? Watching Netflix. I know. What are you doing? Is your homework done, right? There's an assumption of not so much what are you doing, but why are you doing it? It's really what I'm asking. And it's almost like John the Baptist is saying, all right, you're doing what now, Jesus? Now tell me, are you the one or is there someone else coming? And Jesus says, okay, I'm doing this. John the Baptist is like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking. I'm a little confused here. Maybe John is questioning, does he really know this is the right guy? But no, I'm sure that's not the case. I mean, John grew up with Jesus. They were cousins, most likely. Remember, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth as her kin. And they hang out for 3 months together while they're pregnant. I mean, they must know each other decently. At least a close cousin, close relative. Can you imagine the stories John grew up with? So there I was. And I'm doing my thing in the temple. And the angel comes down. And I'm blinded. And I go, what? And he says, you're going to have a baby. And I went, what? And he said, now you're not going to be able to talk because you didn't believe me. And I went, And I go back out and I, and she's like, what are you, and pregnant and she's barren and we're old and I don't know, miracle baby. Can you imagine the stories he heard, right? He grew up with this expectation. You are the one. And John 1:23, John says about himself, John replied in the words of Isaiah, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. He knew who he was. He had been called. He had been miraculously conceived. And he was walking into the world with confidence. I am the one. I am the one here to do this. And he had heard the stories. In fact, if you recall, when Mary came in to see Elizabeth, she hears the voice and John jumps in her belly. And she's like, who am I that the mother of my Lord would come to visit me? They know what's going on. And then they hear the story. You mean I am miraculously pregnant and you are supernaturally miraculously pregnant. Your daddy is the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is out of the box. Mary's story trumps Elizabeth's story. And they're talking about this for 2 or 3 months. And this story goes down into the history. And every time the family reunion comes around, there's John, there's Jesus. We're expecting great things from them. He's going into the world. He knows what's up and he knows this is the one. And just in case there's a little bit of maybe Jesus is just another cool guy. Maybe he's not the one. John 1:32 through 34, John says this. Then John gave this testimony. In other words, John says, I know something that's true. And here it is. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Jesus. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, that one will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. So Jesus and all his miraculous conception and John and all his miracle story, he shows on the scene, he's preaching and teaching, and God says, all right, John, go, do your thing. And John is preaching powerfully, and God says to him, hey, you're baptizing with water, but there's one coming. And when you see the dove land as the Spirit, you'll know that's the one. He's probably in his mind thinking, it's got to be Jesus. It's got to be him. He's like been special since birth. And every time we have a reunion, we're talking about this story. It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. Jesus comes up. I'm here to be baptized. And he's like, dude, I'm not even worthy to baptize you right now. You should baptize me. Jesus says, let's just do it. All right? Just come on, cuz. It's good. God has a plan here. All right. He baptizes him. The Spirit comes down. And John says, yes, this is the one. So John is not questioning all that. He knows this to be true. And yet he is facing certain death. And he's thinking, Jesus, when are you going to break out the Hulk? When are you going to take down all of this brokenness around us? My voice is only so loud and it is being squelched. And now it is your voice, the voice of the Lion of Judah. That is what we need here. And Jesus comes out and he's helping the poor, healing people. He's preaching to the poor. I mean, that is nice, but it's what we do out of pity because people are in our land and we got to take care of them. But what we need is a warrior. We need someone who can come and do what John started, because after all, he is making a way for this one. Can you see the conflict there? And so in this setup, Jesus says in Matthew 11:6 this. Blessed is anyone who does not give up their faith because of me. Now that's a strange thing to say from Jesus. Jesus came to bring faith, right? And to help people believe. And it makes sense. Why would he say that? Blessed is anyone who doesn't lose their faith because of me. What he's saying, I think, here is blessed is anybody who doesn't lose their faith because of what they see me doing. It's in the context. I'm doing things that are not Hulk-like. You're expecting Hulk. And you're like, well, you must not be the right guy. So I think I'm going to go out. And I'm going to lose my faith and walk away because I don't trust that. It's like he's saying, blessed are you if you don't act out of your misunderstanding. Blessed are you if you don't lose your faith because of what doesn't happen the way you think it ought to should. Blessed are you if you don't lose your manners when you're sitting at the Christmas dinner table And things don't go like you think they should. Because this is the way it's always done. This is the tradition. This is the way it ought to should. And it's not going right, and that's just not okay with me. Jesus might say to you, blessed are you if you don't lose your manners. If you don't lose your faith. If you don't lose your center. Because of what's going on around you. Because of what you see from those that you're trusting and looking forward to. Just a little thread we can start pulling out of this. Blessed are you. Remember last week I asked you, how do you respond to God's surprises? That's what Jesus is asking. Something happens in your life and it's not what you expect. How do you respond to that? Blessed are you if you don't lose your faith because of that. Because things are not exactly always what we expect. In fact, quite often they're not. And Jesus continues in the story, starting to explain it. You know, what did you go out to see? Jesus says. You went to see a prophet, right? Well, you got a prophet. You went to see Elijah. You got Elijah. He's literally Elijah come again. Did you go out to see a great man? And he uses this idea of someone who is well-dressed, like a kingly kind of person. No. You didn't come to see a king. You came to see a prophet. And he is a prophet. And he's loud. And he's bold. And you knew it. And you saw it. And you believed it. So why are you confused? And I can just see the people that go, what are you talking about, Jesus? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. Why is it not lining up like it should? And Jesus is really asking the question. You went out to see a man who's going to be a prophet, and he was a prophet. Now, what do you expect from me? What are you thinking I'm going to bring? Am I the Hulk in your mind? Am I a prophet too? Louder, bigger, stronger? Am I... what's beyond Elijah? I don't know. Elisha? What are you expecting from me? And then in Matthew 11, 18 and 19, he says this. Why do I say people are like that? Because John came, not eating like other people. They're drinking wine. Remember, he was a complete water-only kind of guy, right? He came doing completely different things. And the people said, he has a demon inside of him. He's crazy. The Son of Man, Jesus talked about himself here. I came eating and drinking. And people say, look at him. He eats and drinks too much. He's a friend of tax collectors. He's a sinner. And Jesus ends with this phrase, but wisdom is shown right by what it does. Blessed are you if you can hang with Christ a little longer to see just how he does things. Even though it's different, even though it's out of the box, even though it doesn't make sense. Why would I pray for my enemy, for example? Why would I do that? Blessed are you if you can hang with it a little longer. Blessed are you, because wisdom will be seen true by what it does. The proof is in the pudding, is what he's saying. You live this way. You go with where I'm leading, even though it's not what you expected. And you will see something, and you will know something. Your eyes and your ears will become clear again. It's almost like everybody around him is saying, you've made a mistake. Remember, Peter had the same problem. Matthew 16, 22. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. And what did Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind. You made a mistake, Jesus. This is not how it's supposed to go down. And then later he says, okay, I'm going to wash your feet. Peter's like, you're never washing my feet. Nope. He says, well, then if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Peter's like, all right, then wash everything. You don't, time out. We don't need all that, all right? You get to see this disjointed. There's just this huge expectation. And Jesus is like, it's not about that. You're missing the point. He came to prepare a way to get you ready to hear the great news. And I'm telling you the great news. I'm coming to light the world up. But it's different than you expect. Matthew 11, verse 12. Since the time of John the Baptizer came until now, Jesus says, God's kingdom has been going forward strongly. Now, let's pause right there. What he's saying is God's will is being done. Just like God had planned it. He brought all this miraculous and immaculate conceptions. He brought about the people in the world. John has come out and he is a prophet in Elijah, just like God said. And now I, Jesus, the Son of Man, am on the scene. I'm doing exactly what God. He just said, my good and faithful son, I am well pleased. Remember the whole baptism scene just a few days before this. And he is stepping out and saying, this is exactly what God planned. But notice, people have been trying to take control of it by force. Can you relate to that? When God does something in your life and it's not exactly like you were expecting. And we're like, right? Now, if we're honest, we just yell at God and he deals with us. And that's a great way to do it. But sometimes, I ain't doing that. I'm so... Right? Have you been there? I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And we just make it happen. We try to take it by force. And I think Jesus would say to us, blessed are you if you chill out. Don't lose your manners and your faith because it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. It's okay. And then he says this about John in Matthew 11:11. What I'm about to tell you is true. No one is more important than John the Baptist. No one has ever been born. But the least important person in the kingdom is more important than he is. Now this word important, remember, did you go out to see someone in important clothing? That's the idea there. It's the same kind of visual as, did you come out to see a kingly person who's special? John the Baptist is more special than everybody else. And yet the least in the kingdom is more special than he. That's a fun play on words. But think about what he's saying here. If you're in the kingdom, you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Which means you get it. And that makes you more special. John the Baptist had a lot of knowledge and yet he was still short-circuited there. He couldn't quite see the whole image. And yet he's the greatest that has ever lived with regard to understanding. He gets it more than anybody, but guess what? The least of us who are in the kingdom will get it even more. And now it makes sense. The irony is, Jesus says, here's what I'm doing. The blind are what? Seeing. The deaf are what? The least in the kingdom will see and hear. They will understand. Because when the kingdom of God is within you, and when you submit to that kingdom in a way that Christ is leading us to do, it transforms things, and the proof is in the pudding. Because wisdom will be seen by her deeds. It's an invitation. It's an opportunity to say, look, he got you aware, and now I'm telling you the main event is this. And it is different than what you're expecting. But it's ironically exactly what you want. So you're sitting over here thinking, God, why aren't you doing it this way? All right, Jesus, when do I get to punch him in the other cheek? All right, Jesus, when do I get to pray, P-R-E-Y, on my enemy? When do I get to take him out? I'm on the mat. I need help, and I'm about to, oh, it's going to be great. Jesus is going to come in, and bam, he's going to take him out. I need that. I'm excited about that. When do I get to do that? And God says, yes, but no. He is the Lion of Judah, right? Let me ask you this. In the imagery we read in Revelation where Jesus, the brutally beaten lamb who's bloody, comes out and takes out the enemy, the devil and his angels. Now that's a pretty awesome Hulk scene, right? That is what's really going on. That's what's really happening. But we don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. And Jesus is saying, that's what the kingdom is for. I'm bringing the kingdom and just like physically I'm healing people. Guess what? Something really powerful is happening. And the least in the kingdom will be greater than even John the Baptist, who is the greatest that ever lived. Simply because they will understand something no one else does. They will have eyes to see and ears to hear. And what are they seeing and what are they hearing? Why is Jesus the light of the world? Remember Christmas Eve service, the light? What is he illuminating for us? The way it really works. You want to punch the enemy in the other cheek? Guess what? You can. But it is not your brother and sister. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the powers and the dominions of this dark world. You want to punch the demons in the face? That's what Jesus is showing us how to do. Can you fathom that for a minute? That is why it's such great news, because it is not some external thing. It's not taking down the Romans or your boss or that mean person who treats you like that at school. It's not about that. It's about God saying, look, the kingdom of God is within you. And when you submit to that kingdom, and when you follow, and you don't fall away just because it's not like you expect, guess what? You get to punch the enemy in the face, and you will win the battle. If you stand strong in these things, and trust me, proof's in the pudding, wisdom will be seen by her deeds. At the end of the story, you're going to understand, and you'll be even greater than John the Baptist because you have eyes to see and ears to hear. That's what he is illuminating for us. This kingdom within us is so unbelievably powerful. And I think sometimes we get caught up in our mind about how it's supposed to happen. If I'm really following God, then I get the promotion at work. If I'm really following, and this is the real thin level, okay? Most of us rise above that, but we still think it. We don't want to say it out loud. If I'm serving God, then my life should be what? I should feel joy, right? I mean, I should have better relationships. And although there's some truth to that, the why it's true is what gets us caught off. And I think it's the same why that John the Baptist was missing. But the kingdom of God promises something greater than John the Baptist. It says, you know what? You may go to prison and you're going to die at the hand of the king, John. But guess what? You have eyes to see and ears to hear. Your real enemy, you're taking a punch at him. Now, here's the question. I think it's less about, well, I didn't expect that. That's what we say, right? When we push against God and we're like, all right, God, this is not right. You know, this is not to be like this. Is there someone else coming? I mean, this is not right. And he says, you have eyes to see and ears to hear. That should be enough. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Remember, just chill out. I got this. And then we say, I didn't expect that. I think it's less about that and more about, yeah, I didn't really want that. If we're honest, John the Baptist did not want to die in prison. Is that fair? Do any of you would like to die in prison and be beheaded? Anybody? Woo, right? That just doesn't make sense. And when you're serving the Lord Almighty and you're escorting, you're prophesied about in multiple passages. You are miraculously conceived and you're walking into the world and you're bold and the world is ramping around you. You're sending a wave. You're on the speaking circuit. Your blog has blown up. You say something and it trickles out on Facebook. It trickles out on Instagram. You have power and impact and you're a great person and you're doing amazing things for the kingdom. And all of a sudden, you're in the hospital. And you can't even spell your name right. You're disoriented or you're taken captive, whatever it is. And we think that's not how it's supposed to be. God would say to you, blessed are you if you don't fall away because it's not the way you think it ought to be. Because what God has in mind is much greater. It's greater. The kingdom of God is greater than all of your expectations because it allows us to have, say it with me, eyes to see and ears to hear what's really going on. Because our enemy is not each other. It's not the Roman Empire. It's not your boss. It's not your cousin. It's not the mean person on the playground. Your enemy is the devil who is prowling around like a roaring lion. Again, I'm setting up 2020. We're going to see clearly how are we losing the battle. Because what Christ came to do is to say, hey, it's not what you expected, but it's exactly what you want. Hulk is coming, but he's not punching John and Mary. He's punching the devil and his angels. And you're wielding that kind of power as a kingdom. You are greater than John the Baptist because of this authority that God has given you to wield this power. I hope I'm tracking with you today. This is a big message if you get it. And it is one of the greatest things about the coming of Jesus. He's giving us the tools and the power to overcome no matter what the world throws us, no matter what the devil throws us, if we will accept it. I pray that God will bless you with eyes to see and ears to hear. Let's pray together. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. That is our prayer, Lord. We want to know what the kingdom is all about. From the inside out, we pray, Lord, that you would give us the clarity that we need. Illuminate this in our life so that we will not be like John the Baptist, stuck on the mat in prison, afraid and wondering, is there something else? But rather, we'll take into account how great it is what you've already given. Father, we pray that you will lead us with your Spirit, guide us into all truth. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.